This is for the win. Snap is back. Ball is down. The kick is up, and the kick is good, and Denver beats the Browns in overtime.
That is the ball game.
That is the ball game.
Final score in overtime, the Denver Broncos 26 and the Browns 23.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, Nathan Zagura here in the Dog Bowl in Berea this Monday morning. By the way, I guess somebody just tweeted me that Bill Coward said the Browns should cut Johnny Manziel. My understanding is the Browns were aware of the incident before the public was aware of the incident, and they feel very comfortable with where they're at on it, and there's no need for such action, and I totally am fine with that. I don't necessarily love the fact that, you know, a quarterback in the NFL was doing that on his day off, but it was his day off to do with what he wants. I'd like to see him watching the tape, but the cops didn't deem that it was anything, you know, bigger, and I think everybody's comfortable with what's going on there. And they're not going to trade him. What are you going to trade Johnny Manziel for right now? There's no reason to.
Bag of Cheetos?
Right. There's no reason to do it.
Right.
The value is not there, so it doesn't matter. The only person who might give you some value would be Jura, and I don't know if Jura is in the mood. Maybe he is, though, right now with Romo on the shelf. Who knows? But as I see it, I don't think that there is much need to go ahead and make that type of a move right now. So I don't expect anything to come of that. 216-578-0850. Of course, that was Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon on the call. Jim Donovan will be with us at 2 o'clock. We'll hear from the head coach of your Cleveland Browns at 1:45, and we'll hear from the podium, Josh McCown, after yesterday's game, 2:30. I saw Josh McCown in the hall after the game. He took this loss as hard as I've ever seen a player in the NFL take. He was despondent. He was very unhappy.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you work so hard, and I think in Josh's case, you take the beating that Josh took, and you get to the point where you're so close, and as we've said in the past, the defense has let us down. And in this case, the defense did their job or did just enough to give you the opportunity to have the football back. And you don't do anything with it. You have nothing to do but to point your finger at yourself in this one. And I think as the leader of that group, you're of course going to take it the hardest.
Right. And he certainly did. Let me ask you this, by the way. We were talking about it going in the break. What is the difference between the teams that find a way to win these three-point games and the teams that don't? Is it a confidence thing? What do you think that it is?
It's the more you do it, the more you get used to it, and it just becomes second nature. And I don't want to put my words into the fact that these were actually going. But I meant sometimes the moment is too big or the panic does set in and, you know, nut cutting time. It's called that for a reason. And that bothers some people and it doesn't others. And every team that I've been a part of that's been successful, it's just like an undying faith that our preparation and who we are as a team and the individuals that are in our locker room will just persevere and are better or over prepared. And we have the playmakers that can make that one play in that situation, which would allow us to celebrate. Because, Nathan, I mean, this, what the Browns are going through, well, there's probably five other teams in the NFL that have lost games by, you know, on a last-second field goal or a last-second play.
Of course, it happens every week.
It happens every week. It just so is happening to our Cleveland Browns right now, and that's why it's so near and dear to our hearts. So, but that's the NFL. The disparity in the NFL is so small.
Yeah,
and the margin for error and whoever makes the least number of mistakes most likely wins a football game. Very rare do you see a team, you know, lose a turnover margin 3-0. And I'm not saying that was in this case, but then win the game too. There's a reason why. That I think is, from an execution standpoint, what I feel is holding this team back. When we need to be perfect, we have 10 guys doing their job and one guy not. When we need to make that stop on that run, 10 guys do their job, and they find that weakness, that chink in our armor, and expose us for who we are.
Well, part of the problem is, too, you don't have everybody doing it together. We've had games where the offense has executed in the clutch, and then the defense has let them down. And in this game, the defense executed in the clutch, the Mingo interception. The offense had to basically get, you know, 10 yards or 8 yards to give just a shot at the win. And you didn't. You didn't even do that. You went backwards, backwards, backwards. And this offensive line, you know, people are like, how could you say they did a good job on Von Miller overall? You know, a lot of pressure on Josh McCown. He was hit 8 times, sacked 4 more times. So there were around him quite a bit in this passing game.
And I want to make another point. And I know, and I'm not saying that I could do any better, but, and I've heard Mike Pettine reference it a few times, and I know this young man is perfect on the season, but having your max kick have to be a 47-yard field goal in the National Football League, to me, is not enough. I need a guy that can maybe put through a 55-yarder and win me a football game, which would have meant we don't have to get to the 30. We have to get about 6 yards for a shot at a boomer to win a football game. And I want the guy that can make that. I want the guy that can kick that. I don't want to have a guy that's limited because he's a rookie, because he can't, and I have to get to the 30 and so on and so forth. That to me is going to hold us back at some point and lose us a football game.
I will say that it was windy down there and it was windy in that direction.
I know it was.
But I've seen Travis Coons make 55-yarders effortlessly in warmups. We watched him make a 48-yard extra point that would have been good from 58 against the Jets in week one. So he can kick it.
I know that. There's and no I'm just saying, reading into the comments, as I didn't see Mike Pettine's press conference, but I always read the notes. And it just said that, you know, Coach Tabor wanted us, you know, the 30-yard line was where he felt comfortable for us to be. And
sometimes we got to be out of our comfort zone, take risks, and trust the players to make plays.
That's what I mean. I mean, I'm going to trust that my guys are going to block it up, allow Travis Coons to hit a low-line drive, and drive that football as far as he needs to potentially win us a football game. I've got to trust that guy. Or else, to me, and I don't want to take anything away from him, you're not really an NFL kicker if you have limitations. Because I know Janikowski and Gaskowski, and I know Vinatieri maybe at this point in his career is limited, and he plays indoors. But I trust these guys to make it when it counts.
They got to give him the opportunity.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Is make every
so kick. Go get 5 yards. Instead of having to go get 15 and get to where he's quote-unquote comfortable, get uncomfortable, go get 6 yards, and that's all we got for you, bud. Go kick it as far as you can.
And in my experiences with Travis Coons and yours as well, the guy's comfortable doing anything.
Tee the ball up.
He's probably like,
tee the ball
wherever.
Up. Cool. Spiraling wind, tornado.
Who cares?
I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
You know? And at least to me, it seems like we're going to go down fighting instead of giving one of the best regular season quarterbacks of all time another shot.
Which, unfortunately, the Browns did, and they came up on the short end of the stick as a result. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Rod in New Brunswick. Rod, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I just got a quick comment, and then I really have a question that nobody seems to want to address it yet, so I'd like to ask that, so please give me a chance for that one.
Sure.
My comment first is it's tough to be a Browns fan. Geez, that was a heartbreaking loss. The defense, they can't stop the run, and they got no pass rush. It just looks like they're being coached out there by Ben from Dover. No disrespect, Ben. Anyway, my question is, with 1 minute left in the fourth quarter, Peyton Manning had a 4th-and-2, and we had 3 timeouts, and Mike Pettine didn't take a timeout.
It was the end of the second quarter.
Was that the second quarter?
Yeah, it was the end of the second quarter, yeah. So what happened was we stopped them on 3rd down for a pass with no gain. There was about 1:09 left on the clock. They lined up like they were going to go for it on 4th down, and I guess the Browns and Mike Pettine in his thinking at that moment was, I don't want to give Peyton Manning or the Broncos more time. I don't know if he liked what they had. Denver then ran the clock all the way down to 23 seconds, took a timeout, missed the field goal. We got the ball back and got all the way to the Denver 46, but ran out of time right there. And you're right, the Browns had three timeouts at that time.
We had a Hail Mary chance or something at that point.
Right. And what you're saying is if you call the timeout right there, you know, the part that's tough about it is you want those 40 seconds. You want them. So if you call timeout, and they decide to go for it on 4th, and they convert, and now all of a sudden they have 40 seconds and 2 timeouts left, 1 minute and 2 timeouts left because you allowed them to, you know, do you get punished for that? I don't know. I know that knowing how it worked out and that they probably were going to kick the field goal, although they had shown earlier in the game they went for 4th down around the same area, I would have called the timeout. There's no way to know that if you did call that timeout that they wouldn't have gone for it.
My point is, though, is that you're playing...
Control the controllables.
You're playing scared. You're playing scared to Peyton Manning, what if, on a fourth down when you're... You should be looking to try to play aggressive there. That's the way I look at it anyway.
Well, you're right. Do you believe that your D can get the stop? And if they can get the stop, then you go ahead and you get the ball back and you are ready to roll. That was one there. That's a game management moment that a lot of people have brought up already. Let's go to Barron on his cell phone now. Barron, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, man. How are you?
First of all, I want to tell you, your comments have been dead on point. I couldn't stop listening to you guys today. Everybody's hitting nails on heads around here. But here's a concern that I have to add to the Browns, the game we practically won yesterday. The Browns fought back in that game. But what I'm also seeing is you had a pitch out in the overtime to a short yardage running back. He hadn't had any pitch out. He was running fine between the tackles. That was questionable. He got thrown for it. And then you had the 2-point conversion, which would have won the game with the field goal. I'm starting to question whether our coaching is inferior. And at what point, my question to you guys, at what point did a player start losing faith in Mike Patton and O'Neal and the defense and all? And shouldn't they change to a 4-3? That's my only comment.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Well, going to a 4-3 is not an option because you have built this team to play a 3-4. Paul Kruger would then have his hand on the ground all the time. Armonte Bryant would have his hand down all the time. And as Mike Pettine has said in referencing to this, at times we play a 4-3-ish look anyway, and with Armonte Bryant having his hand on the ground. And then on top of that, when we go into a nickel situation, we look just like a 4-3 anyway, with the nickel being your outside linebacker, but obviously covering a wide receiver. So I don't know. And the one thing that I'll continue to say, and I'll continue to say this same point until it's fixed and it looks different, is the defensive front, the defensive group up front, defensive linemen and linebackers, the entire front looks muddy. Nothing is defined. When we blitz, when we're in base defense, everything just looks like blah, you know. And in some cases, for all of us last year who are so critical of Ataba Rubin for standing up and reading blocks and then throwing a guy down and making a tackle 6 yards down the field, did what we see yesterday look any different? Did we see Danny Shelton charging behind the line of scrimmage and making tackle for a loss? Or Randy Starks did one, I'll give it to him. But Dez Bryant, did Dez Bryant's name get called once yesterday?
Coop had the one play, right?
But one play. No, I mean, you're talking 3 plays out of 70 plays. So I just think
the team had 2 tackles for a loss on the day, Randy Starks and Xavier Cooper.
There you go.
You hit the 2 on the head. By the way, they had 6 over there on the Denver Broncos side of it in addition to 4 sacks. So that's 10 negative plays. The Browns had 2.
And can you openly say, and I know we went over this yesterday, were their defensive line, we have it as a push, I think, defensive line versus defensive line?
I think we had them sweep the defense.
Okay, they swept the defense. Okay. But are they that much better than we are as a defensive front? And I'm talking defensive linemen.
Currently, right now, not in name, but in production, yes.
In production, yes, but not in name. And my whole point is, and I guess if I'm going to question anything, I do question slightly the scheme that we're playing. I don't think we're giving our defensive linemen an opportunity to actually go out, be aggressive, and play. We're catching, we're accepting, we're getting overtaken in our gaps, we're getting double-teamed, and we're getting a free guy up on a linebacker, and you're forcing a linebacker to be a superhero. You let a guard run up at you, that guard's going to win an awful lot. He's 320 pounds. You're 250. I don't care how much you bench or squat. That guy's going to win an awful lot because he can bench and squat more than you can.
Raw power. And as a player, do players talk about decisions like we should have kicked an extra point or we should have gone for 2? Does that even happen in the locker room? Is that something that, because you were saying the players are going to start questioning. Do players question things like that and timeout management? Is that even something that ever comes up? Has that ever come up in your career?
Very rarely will it come up between players, and if it is, it's a small grouping of players in the locker room that may discuss that at some point. And it's private. It's you and another guy sitting in the sauna or in the hot tub just going like, dude, why did we, You know, why did we do this? Why did we do that? And it becomes a little discussion, but you drop it. But where those discussions happen is, and I think it's in some cases where that whole TMZ article came from weeks ago, you go home and talk football with your brother, your cousin, your buddies, right?
Yep.
They start throwing the mud at the wall, and some of that starts to stick in your mind, and then you bring that back to the locker room, and that's when you're defeated.
We will be back with more of your reaction on this Browns game. 26-23 Browns come up just a hair short against the undefeated Denver Broncos when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.